Well, I don't know about you, but some of you may have looked at the front cover of Time magazine this week. Why the War on Terror Will Never End, There's No Stopping Bin Laden's Army. And you may look at it and say, do you know, life is much more scary. Life is more fragile than it used to be. Now that we've got these religious psychopaths running around, now they're on the loose, it is more scary. Well, the interesting thing about Ecclesiastes chapter 9 is that it tells us that actually life has always been very scary. Life has always been very scary. You don't need Bush, Blair, and Bin Laden to make it more scary. It's scary anyway. It's always been a lottery. So you can make very wise personal choices about health. And yet, chronic bowel disease can hit you when you're 30 years old, as has happened to the brother of a member of the congregation. He has bowel cancer. It is now inoperable. So you can make very wise choices. He's lived well. That is what has happened to him. Or money. You can be very careful with your pension plan, but there can be corruption. Someone can abscond. The stock market can collapse. And suddenly you find that that security that has been built up over decades can disappear. Or home. You can buy a property. You can have it carefully maintained. And that yet you can suddenly be plunged into negative equity. I went to theological college in 1991. There are a number there who had bought properties in the late 80s during the boom, and they were in tremendous debt as they started at college. Or employment. Job security always used to be cradle to grave, but now that is no longer the rule in the job market. So my father went into a tobacco company at 22. He left at 58. He is now in his 70s. And part of the conversation that goes on as he rings up ex-colleagues is how hard their children work and how insecure their jobs now are. So you think you're secure, but the balance sheet comes out and they suddenly say, well, actually, this is what we've got to chop in order to make things work. You see, to think I am in control when it comes to health, money, housing, or employment is a mistake. As Solomon says here in Ecclesiastes, he says, life under the sun is incredibly uncertain. It is random. It is a lottery. And we're going to see that in this chapter now. And I've got four headings for you. We'll go through them quickly, but here are the four headings. Number one, there are four cannots. Tomorrow cannot be known. That's first point. Tomorrow cannot be known. Secondly, life cannot be safeguarded. Thirdly, success cannot be guaranteed. And fourth, people cannot be trusted. So that's what life is like, unless we're going to be very naive. Tomorrow cannot be known, life cannot be safeguarded, success cannot be guaranteed, people cannot be trusted. So number one, verses 2 to 5, tomorrow cannot be known. Verse 2, all share a common destiny, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good man, so it is with the sinner. As it is with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of men, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterwards they join the dead. Verse 4, anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better than a dead lion. So the only certainty that we have is death, and it will come to us all. But we do not know when. Tomorrow cannot be known. As a friend of mine's father said to him, as his father was dying in October, he said, Andy, you know, none of us get out of this alive. But you know, you don't know when that's going to be. You do not know when that's going to be. We all share, verse 2, a common destiny. We all, end of verse 3, join the dead. But verse 4 is very striking. Even a live dog is better than a dead lion. You don't know when it's going to be, and you're much better alive than dead. You see, a dog was an unclean animal. A lion was the most majestic of beasts, but Solomon says better be a live dog than a dead lion. But this is the grim reality. In life under the sun, we do not know when we will die. Where we go on holiday in Cornwall, my family, there is a cottage just next door. The woman in that cottage has lost both her sons, one in a car crash, the other very dramatically from a brain hemorrhage. Just lost them both, one day to the next. And in Britain, I don't know if you know the statistics, but 20 people are killed a day on the roads, and many of us will have friends to whom that has happened. 2,000 die a day, and 2 are murdered. So tomorrow cannot be known. David Putnam, who played Dracula in over 80 films, said this when he was asked by a journalist about life and death. He said, "When you're young, you have so many things to think about. Your life, your career, your relationships. There's little time to think about the other end of things. But I've changed as I've grown older. Now it seems to me that as soon as you're born, the only absolute certainty is that you're going to die. I have to say that it's a dismal prospect to think that there's no more to it than that, that you go out like a light and that's it. It makes a mockery of the whole purpose of living." And verse 5 and 6 make it even clearer. Can we see verse 5 and 6? "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no reward, and even the memory of them is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun." So the opportunity of life, the reward of work, love and hate, jealousy, all will vanish, and they'll never have a part in anything again. When you're dead, it is all over. Tomorrow cannot be known. Only death can be known, and life is scary. Point number one. Point number two, secondly, life cannot be safeguarded. Not only is life scary, but it cannot be safeguarded. Let's have a look at verse 12 as we look down. "Moreover, no man knows when his hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so men are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them." This book was, of course, written when the Persian Empire seemed utterly secure, but then Alexander the Great, the Greek, came in and swept it all away. And men and women are trapped by evil times. As it is with the good man, so it is with the sinner. They fall unexpectedly upon them. So here we are, you see, evil times. Here is Bin Laden, and he will kill people in the West at will. And you can be a holidaymaker in Bali, or you can be working away in the Twin Towers, and you will die, because you can be trapped at any time. I have had a friend called Simon. I had supper with him 2 months ago in Sydney. The next day, he had put an advertisement in a newspaper to be contacted, because he had very sadly had a broken engagement, and he went to meet the people who rang him to sell them the ring. He went with his parents. As he got there, they said, "Actually, we want your mother's bag, and we want the ring for nothing." They looked to take the bag off his mother. He stepped across, they stabbed him in the heart and murdered him. He was killed. You see? And I mustn't be naive about life. Can we see verse 12? "As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so men are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them." The days are evil. And I mustn't be surprised that my friend has been murdered. Even though I put my arms around him the night before he died, and it was great to see him in Australia. And I probably rang him, I think, 20 times last year from England to Australia as he went through a broken engagement. But that is what it is like. Times are evil, let alone the fact that health can disintegrate. So those of you who were here at the prayer gathering on Tuesday night may have heard Roy McCluffery. He's been a missionary with All Souls for 20 years. He wept as he described epilepsy, diabetes, high blood pressure, and what that has now meant for his life in terms of ill health. The days are evil. The shadow will be on the rest of his life. So that is just a fact of it, and I mustn't ignore it. Life cannot be safeguarded. I mustn't be naive. Thirdly, success cannot be guaranteed. This is the nature of the world we're in. Verse 11. Can we see as we look down? This is another thing that's seen under the sun. "I've seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong. Nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all." I was on the phone yesterday to a guy called Brendan Nasser in Australia. He won 9 rugby caps for Australia in 1989 to 91. When I met up with him, he told me that the best rugby player he had played with during his school days was, again, a guy called Simon, and that Simon was killed in a car crash the summer they left school. he said he would have been a magnificent international for Australia. Now that is the issue, you see, as we look down at the verse. The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong. Time and chance happen to them all. And it can happen in career as well. I think of a very fine Christian minister, and his wife committed adultery. Because of that, he is out of the ministry. All those years spent trying to learn to teach the Bible, wanting to lead a church, gone. Or I think of a relation of mine, apparently, so I'm told, with a glittering naval career ahead of him. And one night, when he was in charge of a ship, he was sleeping, he was off duty. But one of the duty officers, sadly, crashed the ship. I don't know how he did it, but the ship was crashed, and that was the end, though he was asleep, of my relation's naval career. He was never promoted again. He was retired early. So at whatever point you want to do this, in all walks of life, this is what can happen. This is the issue here. Success cannot be guaranteed. And I think if I can, just for a moment, please excuse me, the ladies here, if I can just apply this to men, because they're the only people I do personal work with, one-to-one work, in young people, in young men, the temptation is always pride, arrogance, and recklessness. So that's what happens. Time and again, you meet arrogant young men. In older men, what I see is that as they see that life cannot be safeguarded, success cannot be guaranteed, tomorrow cannot be known, what you see in older men is anger, cynicism, and apathy. They're often angry and cynical and apathetic. But that's what life has done to them. And they need to guard their hearts. But I meet an older, time and again, I meet an older man, and I think your heart has grown cold, and it's grown hard, and it's because of a brutal world. And that is made all the more so because of our fourth point. Can we see as we look down? People cannot be trusted. People cannot be trusted. That's what we're told in verses 13 to 18. Gosh, this is a sad story, and it has so much to say today. I also saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it, and a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built huge siege works against it. Now there lived in that city a man poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom, but nobody remembered that poor man. So do you see the scenario? The city is about to be destroyed. People will be raped. Families will be broken up. It'll be destroyed. Millions of pounds worth of property will be lost. Businesses will be destroyed. And there is a poor man. And he gives them information and wisdom that saves the city. I don't know what it was, but he does that. But then you know what happens? They don't say, well, thank you so much. Here is a small house and a pension because you saved all of our lives. They say, well, we don't need him anymore. They just discard him. He's just discarded, despite the fact that he has saved them all. People cannot be trusted. So 20, 30 years of faithful service in a job. Suddenly the stock market plummets, the pension goes through the floor, and there is no one there to help. Or you're age 45, you've worked for 20 years for a company, and your boss says, we've got to let you go. I'm sorry, we've got to let you go. And no wonder so many people live lives of quiet desperation. You see, as people face these harsh realities, what happens? Well, do they not go in one of two directions? Either you meet people who are optimists with no real hold on reality, or you meet people in whom there is a deep pessimism that descends into a cynical fatalism. That seems to be where Ecclesiastes leaves you. Optimists who aren't realistic, pessimists who are fatalistic. And what about verses 7 to 9? Maybe there's hope there. Let's have a look at 7 to 9 and see if actually we've got some hope. Can we see verse 7? In this world. Go, verse 7, eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for it is now that God favors what you do. So there is a chance of contented living. Eat, drink, a carefree life, a great meal, wonderful. And then, you see, there's more hope. Verse 8, there's also cheerful celebration alongside contented living. Do we see it? Verse 8, always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. Well, white was the dress for a wedding day. It's the color and joy of celebration. So that's how to do life, with a great smile on your face. And then, best of all, verse 9, there's companionship. How about this for hope? Verse 9. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of what? Can we see it? All the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. All your meaningless days. Do you see? Just as we get our heads lifted up, just for a moment, he then plunges us back down into the mud. All the days of this meaningless life. So you found someone you want to do life with. You want to trust them. You make vows to each other to have and to hold, for better, for worse, from this day forward, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish. There's intimacy. So there's contented living, cheerful celebration, companionship, and then back down into the mud, verse 10. Let's see him shove our noses straight back into the mud. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you're going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. You see, with work, well, it ends. There's no energetic application. And planning, well, there's no practical strategies. And knowledge, there's no informed accomplishment. Because, he says, you may take those things, companionship, contented living, celebration, but actually, he says, life under the sun, life without God, is a total lottery. There are no winners. Do not be naive about life. This is what it is like. I hope we're not being naive. This is what the Bible says life is like. And do you know where there's the only hope? Where is there hope? Chapter 8 and verse 16 and 17. Let's see where there's hope. When I applied my mind to know what to know wisdom and to observe man's labor on earth, his eyes not seeing day or night, then I saw all that God has done. No one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Despite all his efforts to search it out, man cannot discover its meaning. Even if a wise man claims he knows, he cannot really comprehend it. And you know what we're being told? We're being told the only way that you can do life is if you come to the Bible. The only way that life works is if you come to the Bible and you ask God to give you hope and strength and the right grip on life. I must come to the Bible or else I will not understand it. It was Thomas Edison who conducted 50,000 experiments, all of which failed, before he was able to invent a new storage battery. 50,000 experiments. And when someone commented on his lack of results, he said this, "Results? Results? Why, I've got a lot of results. I know 50,000 things that won't work." That's what he said. 50,000 won't work. And that, I think, is what we're meant to conclude here. Because we're told all the things that will not work in life. Life under the sun, without God and without his word, will not work. Tomorrow cannot be known without God. Life cannot be safeguarded. Success cannot be guaranteed. People cannot be trusted. And please don't be naive. So please don't put your head in the sand as suddenly life comes up behind and bites you and hurts you deeply. And then God is blamed. No, actually, we're told this is what life will be like. And don't trust in contented living, cheerful celebration or companionship. Because you will die, or your companions and loved ones will die. And this is why you see in the office you come from, you may have somebody who is not a Christian, but they have great wisdom, and they're to be listened to. And they're people, and there's a lot you can learn from them. But ultimately, their philosophy of life, their worldview, will break down horrifically if they do not know Christ. There will be at a point, maybe the death of a loved one, where they have nothing to say, and they plunge us straight into Ecclesiastes chapter 9. There's a point in the Gospels, you probably remember it, when Jesus turns around, and many are leaving him, and he turns around and he says to the disciples, he says, "What about you? Do you want to go as well?" And what does Peter say? Do you remember? He says to Jesus, "Lord, to whom should we go? You have the words of eternal life." I don't know, but don't you think Peter maybe had been flicking through Ecclesiastes chapter 9 that very morning? He'd been flicking through and he thought life under the sun without God is absolutely hopeless. And our job, I think, is to learn the lesson of contentment in Philippians 4 verse 12, where Paul says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation as he knew Christ. Because unfortunately, you see, life is going to be and is very, very rough. That is the nature of life. Tomorrow cannot be known. Life cannot be safeguarded. Success cannot be guaranteed. People cannot be trusted. But Jesus Christ can be trusted. Jesus Christ can be trusted. And in this world that is so very scary, that is the only place to go to for hope and for help. Let's pray together. Tomorrow cannot be known. Life cannot be safeguarded. Success cannot be guaranteed. People cannot be trusted. Father God, thank you so much that this book of the Bible is so realistic. Thank you that it tells us what life is like. Please save us all from naivety. Please help us to know what it's like and not to be surprised when evil days come upon us. But at the same time, Father God, we want to tell you that we place our trust in Christ. We ask that you would enable us to make him our rock so that we do not live under the sun. We live with the hope and knowledge of eternity. And please help each one of us to have that worldview in place so that we can handle life at its broadest points. Amen.